in John Gospel chapter 2, here the Lord Jesus Christ is attending a marriage supper. Now, marriage is honorable in the sight of God. I know the Word of God teaches and says this, that in the last days there'll be folks forbidding others to marry. And strange things are happening in this hour. Why, there's people, my friends, men marrying men, women marrying women, and even some of the states are considering passing laws to where that the people of the same sex can marry. And that's one of the most ungodly things that I've ever heard of. And they're trying to do away with the marriage vows and say that there's nothing to it. And this dirty bunch of crooks and prostitutes and whoremongers and this crowd out of Hollywood has, my friends, torn down seemingly the homes across this land. Many people say, just live with someone for a little while. And if you don't like them, swap a 40 marble off the 220s and try that for a while. But neighbor, listen, God is not pleased with that. I believe that the divine will of God Almighty was for a man to marry and to stay that way. Amen. To their parts. Why, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they said to him, Moses gave us a writing of divorcement. And Jesus said, well, it was because of the hardening of your heart. But notice what he said. It was not so from the beginning. I believe marriage is honorable in the sight of God. The Lord Jesus is attending the marriage supper. And all of a sudden they come in and they say to it, they're out of wine. And the Bible tells how that Jesus commanded that they take the water pots and fill them up to the brim with water. And the Bible said, as they did so, the Son of God performs the first miracle that he ever performed as he begins his public ministry. And that miracle is this. He, my friends, turned the water into wine. Now, what old drunk said one time, is it okay to drink wine? Jesus made it. Now, I said, if you make it like Jesus made it, out of plain water, help yourself. Amen. Don't you use any muscadines or blackberries or something like that. Neighbor, I believe you make it like Jesus did. Praise God, the infernal revenue lets you buy. Don't you believe that? Yes, sir. And so, the Son of God performs a miracle. Now, there's nothing that'll fill your heart anymore as you read the Bible about the miracles of the miracle-working Son of God. I'll tell you, my heart's thrilled every time I begin to read those miracles. Why, somebody said, I've heard them over and over. Yeah, but they never grow old to me. They never stale to me. Praise God. When I read about the Lamb of God walking down the way one day, and two old blind boys were sitting there, and they'd never seen mother, they'd never seen dad, they couldn't see the flowers that they was able to smell, they couldn't see the food that they was able to taste from all the penniless. They heard about Jesus passing by. Amen. And they cried out and they said, thou Son of God, have mercy upon us. But all the tell you, Jesus didn't pass them by, and there's never been a hailed sinner that ever called upon him. Thank God that he ever did pass by. I want to tell you, neighbor, listen, he went over there and glory to God, he touched their eyes. And when he touched their eyes, even though they'd never seen mother and they'd never seen dad, think about it, the face of the first one that they ever laid their eyes upon was the face of God's darling baby boy. Hallelujah! I'll tell you, the Alpha, the Omega, the Passover, the Paschal Lamb. I have to tell you, they laid their eyes upon the one that old Zechariah said to bank, and Daniel said he's the stone that shoot out of the mountains without hands. Isaiah said he's the root out of a dry ground and a tender plant. Hallelujah! Here it is, the Passover, the Paschal Lamb. I'll tell you, the mediator, and they laid their eyes upon him. I like to read about those miracles that's recorded in the blessed Word of God. I like to read how that he took a few loaves of bread and a few fish and fed a multitude. I like to read about them. Amen. But let me haste along tonight with all the miracles that I've ever read about in the blessed Word of God. There's none of them that ever fills my soul like God loving a hell-bent sinner and saving a sinner. Brother, that's the biggest miracle of all. Amen. How that God could save a hell-bent sinner. Some years ago, I like to go to auctions. I like to hear those auctioneers. You ever go? How many of you ever go to an auction sale? I like to hear those auctioneers. Hey, hey, hey. Eat a minute, feed a minute, feed a minute, find a dollar bidder, and boy, they're gone, huh? I like to go to them. And I tell you, I read a little poem one time that thrilled my heart. The old auctioneer stood before the crowd, and he had an old violin. Now, I'm a fiddle player. That's what I like to play. I'm really a fiddle player. And that old auctioneer stood there with an old violin. He said, "How much is it worth?" One man said, "Why, that old thing's not worth much. I'd give a dollar." Another one said two. One said three. One four. And he's about to sell this old violin that looks so useless for just maybe $4 or $5. They said about the time the auctioneer began to say, "Going once, going twice," all of a sudden now the crowd stepped an old white-haired gentleman. He said, "Wait a minute. Don't sell that valuable instrument for such a meager fare. Let me see it." He took the old violin out. The strings were loose. He began to tune those things. He tuned that little E string and then the A string, the D string, the G string. Then he reached into that old violin case, and he got out the bow, and he tightened the hair. Then he began to roll that bow up real good, and then the old fella placed that violin under his chin and began to draw that bow across the strings. As he did so, people had never heard music like that. While one man jumped up and said, "I'd give $1,000 for that thing." Another one said two, one three. One man weeping said, "I'd give four, one five." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold to that man for $5,000. Now, what made the difference? Well, you said the poem, no doubt, but here's the difference. You see, the old auctioneer, or rather the old hot-haired gentleman, was the master, and he knew what to do with a worthless instrument. Man, when I read that one day, I got on cloud nine. Amen. I'll tell you, I saw the old devil, and that old buzzard was the auctioneer, and he had me on the block. And the devil said, "How much is he worth?" Why, somebody said, "He's not worth much. His old daddy's crooked, and he comes from a rotten outfit." The devil said, "He's not worth much." But brother, listen, it looks like I'm about gone. I'm gone once. I'm going fast. But hallelujah, about that time, out of the crowd steps the master. Amen. And I want to tell you, Major Tank Top, he took me just like I was. Out of tune. I'll tell you, damned and doomed and blinded to spend eternity in hell. He began to tune the strings of my heart. The little E string, the A string, the B string, the G string. And then he reached into the box of eternity and got out the bow piece and rolled it up with a grace and grace. Hallelujah. And began to draw it across the strings of my soul until every string began to vibrate with a sweet string of Israel. Thank God it wasn't wrong till I came out singing, "Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God." I like to read about the miracles of a miracle-working Son of God. I want you to look, my friends, tonight, listen, as we go further this text tonight, notice as Jesus performs this miracle. My brother, listen, we notice here something that I want to bring to your heart tonight. Notice that the ruler of the feast said good. He said, "Every man at the beginning does set forth his best wine, but he gives his worst life." Now, I don't care because tonight to give good things out, but the worst is yet to come. Huh? That's right. You take the devil tonight, he's doing everything he can to get his best now. Actually, he's detailing you to drink old crow, but he don't tell you to puke like an old buzzard. See? He gets you out here, he gets you all boozed up on Saturday night, but he won't tell you, my friends, that Sunday morning your old head will be swollen up. The devil said, "Live it up. Have yourself a big time." The devil's too soon. He doesn't inform you that, my friends, there's more people die of cirrhosis from the liver than there are folks with lung cancer from smoking cigarettes. The devil doesn't inform you that, my friends, tonight you may be a man of distinction, but tomorrow you can be a man of extinction. He doesn't tell you that. Why, the devil's too soon. You know what he does? He goes out here on a billboard. He puts the picture of a beautiful woman up there, having a beautiful co-ed. In her hand is a little bottle of alcoholic beverages or a little glass, maybe some Budweiser. Of course, Bud, you'll be a lot wiser if you don't fool with it. Amen? Yes, sir. And the devil said, "This is the fashionable, and this is the sociable thing to do." That's what the devil said. And I want to tell you, my friend, he puts the picture of a beautiful woman. Why don't you put some old hags up there with her hair down all over her face? It looks like she's been laying in the alley for about 10 days. How did the devil do that? He's too shrewd for that, you see. Yes, sir. He will don't you, my friends, to have a big time now. But God said that the end of that dragon is terrible, and it's going to be turned into hell forever. Is that what the book said? Say amen. Now don't sit there looking at me like a female billy goat, bless God. You'll get me the amen in myself. Amen. Now listen, my friends, tonight, I want to come into the blessed word of God. I want you to know that the devil's true. He never tells a young man or young woman out here on the back road somewhere that if they indulge in illicit sin, I'll tell you, my friends, that an illegitimate child may be born, their life may be ruined. I'll tell you, remember, for that dirty, filthy act will follow them to their grave. The devil doesn't do that. No, sir. He just said, have yourself a time. Live it up. And that's the reason he's got this world set crazy. Do you know that? Why, they can't even sell home food anymore without putting a naked woman's picture on the bag. I'm telling it right. They gotta put some semi-new woman or some old naked heifer's picture on about everything they sell this day and time. Am I telling it right? And some of you mothers and dads, that's your little daughter's been out running around half naked. There's not enough clothes on to make a pair of breeches for a boo day. And breath, God, let a bunch of old pot-bellied, dual-nosed thugs stand back, and their eyeballs tell the legs of your daughters, and you let them die and go to hell because you won't make them live right. Amen. I'll tell you right now, neighbor, bless God, we look here at the word of God tonight. The devil's soon said, live it up. Have yourself a big time. Boy, there's a lot of folks do that. I was in the service the other day. There's a woman had so much paint on her face. If you had kissed her, you'd have got the painter's colic. She looked like a clown out of Barlow Bailey Circus to me. Well, God, she had so much paint on. She really marred her beauty. Bless God, she looked plumb ugly to me. She made a freight train took a dirt road. Amen. Listen, brother, I'll tell you tonight. You come to the blessed word of God, the devil's freed. He's wise. And he doesn't show you the terrible end of the thing. He said, just live it up and have yourself a big time. But he's smart. He's smart never. Yes, sir, you got folks religious tonight. There's a lot of folks that are religious never what? Man, they join the gooses, the mooses, and the hoot owls. I've got to fish camp for the night and tell them got down the road where I live, and in come a bunch of fellas. If I'd have worn an outfit like that out, this God, they'd have thought I was an organ grinder, left my monkey at the house. Had a little old hatter sitting on top of their head. Said he jazz. I never have seen none of them with she jazz on it, but anyhow, they had he jazz. If I'd have come a walking in there with a garb on like that, they'd thought I was a cookie just come out of the kitchen. Is that so? Yep, devil got, listen, you know what I'm trying to say? Devil's got folks religious this damn time. And you think I'm telling you something, you just cross that crowd's path. One fellow said to me, he said, you ought to join the Masons and go through the York right and say, you see Jesus. I said, fella, I'm ahead of you. I went to Calvary. Man! One guy said, I'm an umbrella. I said, I'll agree you not as odd as I ever met. Folks religious. I've seen people join the 144,000 and want to get religious. Go to Rome. Kiss a Pope's big toe. Confess the sins through a knot hole, the Latin speaking, robe wearing, bean counting priest. They call father and he ain't even married, dresses like mama on top of it. Yeah. Some of you heard me tell this, maybe, when I was in the army, there's no one there as a Christian scientist. I soon found out he was neither a Christian nor a scientist. He wasn't either one of them. He said there's no such thing as pain. Now, I might look like I come to town with a load of pumpkins, honey, but I didn't. Amen. Don't tell me, bless Yes, God, there's no such thing as pain. You ever hit your thumb with a hammer? The first and the only dancing that I've ever done since I've been saved was when that happened. Then a fella is on top of a barn, and he is left-handed. And he looks like a windmill running backwards or driving nails on top of that barn. I never seen it. He said, hit the nail. I said, that's just what I done. My thumbnail. Now, I was with this guy in the army, and you know how it is. In the course of 2 years, you got to take a shower or two somewhere along the way. And army style, this guy was in a big shower, just a lot of shower, and I had to go through his to get into mine. I had the toothache. He said, fall in your head. Made me about half mad. I said, did you ever hear the toothache anywhere else? Bless God, who ever heard the toothache in the heel? Who ever heard the toothache in the ankle? He said, it's all in your head. I got into that shower and he had the cold water on. I said, whoop, I don't know. He said, it's all in your head. Now look here. I kill hogs about every year. I got five right there ready to kill. But you know what? When you kill an old hog, you put him in scalding water, and I don't care how dead he is, every hair on him comes off. Hot water's hot water. I told him, I said, you turn that cold water off and turn that other faucet on. He'd have found out that God, it wasn't in his head, amen? Next time you find one of these birds that said that it's all in his head, no such thing to pain, you catch him with his back turned, you shoot straight to him and find out what it means. Now, this devil's got folks religious. Everybody's religious this day. I quit asking people, are you a Christian? Everybody's a Christian. Now, if you think I'm lying, just ask them. Said, yes, that boss, I sure is. I love the Lord. And they got these sorry whites that's about as bad off of telling lies. I tell you something. Next time you ask them, ask them, say, are you born again? And he said, yes. Hey, tell me about it. Boy, that'll make some of them swallow their Browns meal. Just get them to tell you about it. Last God, they'll swallow their boots and all the rest of it. I'll tell you that right now. Now listen, the devil is his best now, but the worst is yet to come. Now then, that brings me down to my message tonight. I want to bring you a message, my friends, about one that gives good things now, but thank God, better things are yet to come. You see, who is that? That's the precious Lord. Amen. As you're looking at the blessed word of God tonight, now I'm going to hasten along now. I want you to note, my friends, that in creation, God kept the best until life. Amen. As we read in the Bible, I want to tell you one morning, my heavenly Father walked out on the edge of nothing and flung into space everything you see and the things you can't see. He didn't need rocks to make mountains. He didn't need dirt, my friends, to make this earth. But he took nothing and made everything. I want to tell you, he made the mud seals of this whole earth. He put out every silver stream. I'll tell you, he planted every fire garden. He studded this earth with the green trees. And then I'll tell you, my friends, stood back and said, I like what I made. Amen. Yes, he did. But the crown of the acts of God was when he took up the dust to the ground and made a man and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. Now God made man in his own image. Amen. And that's the reason tonight you're going to live forever. You say, I'm not going to live with God forever. You're going to live forever. You may not live with God forever. You live in hell forever. You can mark that down. You will never die. Man is created in the image of God and will never die. You'll either live in that land that's fair today. You'll either live with God forever. You shout the victory forever. Or you'll go to hell forever. One or the other. You certainly will. And so we find tonight, my friends, that in creation, God kept the best until life. Now, God, I never read where God sent his only begotten son to die, that a horse could be born again, or where a cow could be born again, or where an old pig could get saved. I'll tell you what I did read. I read where God loved the poor old sinner so good. Amen. That God said he was willing to give the best that heaven had. Now, I want to tell you, he didn't send some angel that's been on hay rations, living in a back alley with a rusty halo and a moth-eaten robe. They asked God, he's got the best that heaven had. God, because his only begotten Son died for the remission of sin. So in creation, God took the best until life. In Revelation, God took the best until life. These Old Testament saints, they understand everything you and I know. While we sit here and we rejoice and shout and praise God about the truth and God's eternal word, they understand everything you and I know tonight. But I'll tell you, by faith, they accepted what God told them, and God begins to reveal it to them. Now, let me give you just a few things. Brother Kanoi mentioned this somewhat in this message this morning. God acted out the plan of salvation, the Garden of Eden. He certainly did. It wasn't man that was looking for God. God was looking for man. I hear a lot of folks get up, and I'm not trying to pick no fuss with nobody tonight. But let me help you. You use this terminology, when I found the Lord, why don't you put that out? He wasn't lost. He was a burden as lost, and he found Jesus. Amen. I mean, God's never been lost. God, you're the one that's lost. And God went looking for you. It's God that looks for sinners in the Old Testament, and it's God that looks for sinners in the New Testament. Amen. It said of Jesus that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. God went looking for Adam and Eve. God went out in the field, and the Bible tells how that God took an innocent beast and he threw it. And I want to tell you, he made a covering for Adam and Eve. I want to tell you, my friends, that God made a coat for Adam and a coat for Eve. He made a covering. That's a beautiful picture of what happened thousands of years later at Calvary's cross. Like the innocent beast in the field that never committed one sin. I'll tell you, God's darling son that had never committed a sin. I'll tell you, was stripped of anything that you and I can have a covering. Amen. And God, my friends, takes me from us. We can be saved by the grace of God. Now, God built these things up, and he's shown forth. All right, so you begin to look forth in the Scriptures. Watch God as he reveals the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation. Here's old Adam. Noah. Noah's fixing to get in that ship. That thing's a certain length. It's a certain height. It had three floors. That which tells us of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It didn't have but one door. Amen. Which tells of the Son. There's not but one way in. The Bible says you couldn't tell the front end of the ship from the back end. That's everlasting life. This salvation that you and I have doesn't have but one end to it. And that's the beginning end. Amen. And it goes on forever and forever and forever. And on 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 and on. And on and on and on and forever and forever and forever and forever. Now God shows this. We find that it was God shut the door. And I'll tell you, my friends, it'll be God that'll seal you in. The Bible said that old ark was pitched in and pitched it out, which is telling the Holy Ghost of God that you and I are sealed until the day of redemption. God shows forth this. Then we come on, we see the tabernacle in the wilderness and all of that tells about Jesus Christ. Then we find that Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac's a type of the Son. Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And Rebecca's a type of the church. One day Abraham said to Eliezer, the elder servant, I want you to go get a wife for my son Isaac. And the Bible said he packed up the camels. These are the kind you ride, not the kind you carry. These are the kind that had a hoof on them and not the kind that puts a hoof on you. Are y'all listening? Some of you are looking sleepy by now. Am I going to? Now listen, but I will tell you one thing right now. He looked in the blessed word of God. Old Abraham said, Eliezer, go get me a bride for my son Isaac. So he gets the camels and he takes all of the beautiful bracelets and diamonds and all the wonderful jewelry and the good smelling perfumes and the good food and the goodies, and he goes in to a far country to rule out a bride for Isaac. He puts out a fleece. The girl that draws water for me and for my camels, that'll be the girl that I'll invite to go and marry my master's son. Here comes a beautiful little girl with the name of Rebecca. She draws water for Eliezer and his camels. He said, would you go marry my master's son? Said, I sure would. Now, you better look through that for a moment. I mean, she never seen the guy. I never had but one blind date in my life, and I wish I was blind to got there. Man, listen, I'll tell you right now, you'd have them, brother. Yeah, I don't know who I'm going with. You say, you're not Mr. America. That may be all right. That didn't keep me warm. Man, Miss America, amen. I'll tell you right now, listen, brother, I want to know who I'm going with. I certainly did. And so, this girl said, I'll marry. Now, these one of three things sold, you listen. She's hankering to get married. It was leap year. Her God was in it. And I'm convinced the Lord was in it. And you know the story. This is showing forth, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was the beloved of the father. Jacob had a lot of sons, but he had one beloved. Amen. We found that old Joseph was placed in the pit of death. He went away to a far country. While he's in that far country, he took a Gentile bride and became the breadwinner for his brethren that was back at home. Do you see that? God has a lot of sons. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. The Bible said he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But God never had but one only begotten son, and that's Jesus. And Jesus, my friend, came. His brethren cast him into the pit of death. He went away to a far country. Where? To heaven. What's he doing? He's taking a Gentile bride, just like Joseph took a Gentile bride. And thank God, he's the breadwinner for his brethren back here. He said, I am the bread of life. You eat of this bread that I am, and you'll never hunger again. And so we find in Revelation, God showing forth. But oh my, watch this. One morning, old Gabriel, with an angelic choir dispatched from heaven, stepped out on the Judean hills, and old Gabriel said, sing it on the downbeat. On the downbeat, they got to singing. Unto you's born a Savior, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. My soul, the old devil's up yonder at Herod's house, and he took a running fit. He said, you better do something. There's been a king born, and he's going to take your place. So they called out the National Guard and the Federal troops. And they went looking for him. But I want to tell you, bless God, the Bible said, when they came there in that little city, my friends of Bethlehem, down with a dirty, nasty, filthy, stinking cow stall, was God's darling son, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the Bible said, they fell out and they worshiped him, and went out of town in another direction. You ever seen just right? You won't go back the way you come in. Amen. Amen. And so, God kept the best until last. And then notice this, in the life of the Lord Jesus, God kept the best until last. When Jesus came to this world, he was despised. They said, we'll not have this man to rule or reign over us. The Bible said there's no room for him at the inn. The Bible reports, my friends, where that God's son was born in that cow stall. There was no room for him. He was hated and despised even at the onset. The devil saw to that. Why, that's the reason the devil tried to get him killed before his time. Do you remember reading the Word of God where Jesus was often, well, I start to say repeatedly, and that's about what he did. He's often saying, my hour is not come. It's not time for the Son of Man to be offered up. Now listen, Jesus was born in God's time. In the fullness of time, when the hour was ripe, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. Amen. I want to tell you something. He lived as long as God wanted him to live. I saw where one Bible professor made a statement in a Sunday school quarterly, and he said it makes no difference how long Jesus is in the tomb. Well, it does make a difference. Amen. Yes, sir. If he just stayed there 2 days and got up, that ain't him. If he stayed 6 or 8 days and got up, that's not him. But he said, as God was in the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. And he said, you're the strongest people, and I'll raise it up in 3 days, did he say it? And so it makes a difference. Well, I want to tell you right now, listen, my friend, as we look here, the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God, as he came to this world, even though he was despised and hated, God kept the best for him. Well, everywhere he went, he was a poor man, as far as human estimates were concerned. Amen. Born in a barred stall. Every time he went preaching, he rode in a barred boat, rode into Jerusalem on the back of a barred colt, was crucified on a barred cross, and buried in a barred tomb. I'd say the poor man, as far as human estimates were concerned. Huh? Brother, listen. I want to tell you right now, listen. God kept the best in the life of Christ. Oh, amen. You know why? Listen, the first time he came alone. But the next time, he'll come with 10,000 of his saints. The first time, I'll tell you, they crowned him with a crown of thorns. The next time, they'll crown him with honor and glory. The first time, he went and came to a dirty cowshed. The next time, he'll come to the throne of David. Oh, glory! The first time he came, he rode on the back of a barred colt. Since then, he's been horse trading. He'll be riding the one standing the next time. Amen! I want to tell you, my friends, God has kept the best until life. Glory! I was reading over there in the Revelation in the 19th chapter. Woo! that. Lord, I got the lamb's heaven. And after these things, I heard a great voice. Did you hear that? A great voice. How much people in heaven stand? Hallelujah! Salvation! And honor! And glory! And power! Under the Lord our God! Ooh. I don't know what that does to you. That turns wheels over me. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth in their fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants in her hand, and they said, Hallelujah! God, I want to put somebody out of business doing something like that. And I'll tell you right now, you know what? The newspaper somebody told me this morning, they read it in black and white. The roll off up, amen to God, and prayed every demon a hell mile, and all the God haters, the Christ rejectors, and all this crowd that cussed on time religion and didn't believe in God and the church, and God put a show forth in grace. Amen. And I believe while he's been doing it, old Gabriel and old Michael are full of their wings and pull off the crown and shake their heads and say, my, it must be wonderful to be a poor sinner saved by the grace of God. Oh! Hallelujah. Bless God, you think about that. You need to think God's going to leave me to take out of the life of Christ. Amen. No. He's not going to leave one thing out. Not one thing. And I'll tell you, listen, brother, they may cuss him here. They may despise him here. But the day will come when an angel will stand with one foot upon the land and one on the sea and raise his hat and swear that time shall be no more. And we're going to live forever and forever. And then listen to this. In the Christian experience, God keeps the best until life. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that night when I staggered into the University of Tennessee auditorium. One fell on one side and one on the other, and me so drunk I couldn't walk. Loop-legged, drunk, vomited, tore my clothes, I'd wallowed, moaned, vomited, laid in old pool hall on Gay Street in Knoxville. I was sick about 12 o'clock that day. And I didn't know it, but a big meeting was going on. Oh, I'm glad that God cares for sinners. I'm glad to see somebody that loves poor sinners. And oh, I want to tell you what the truth, they carried me to that place that night. That big auditorium would seat 5,000 people. They took me up in the balcony. I don't know what they sung. Had a big choir, 500 people in the choir. I don't know what the man preached about. I was drunk and I got up there and it's hot and I went to sleep. But when the invitation started, that 500 voice choir stood and they began to sing. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come in your heart. I'd tried everything in the world. Oh, Lord. I was talking to Brother Burns the other day. We went bear hunting. I said, you know, there's some things that's happening. I don't even like to think about it. I've done things so low down, I don't even want to think about it. I could put them a million miles from my thoughts if I possibly could. But there are times when those things come up, of things that I've done. And, oh, I stood there wicked and vile. And, oh, I want to tell you that night, friend, when I stood there, bless God, and that the choir began to sing another verse. Are there any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Are there any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible, and he work a miracle for you. And then they changed again, and they started saying, oh, Lord, don't go away without Jesus. They're almost done. They're about through. They're fixing to quit. Well, an old boy that played tackle on the football team put his arm around me and said, Red, where would you go if you stood out tonight? I said, I'd go to hell. He said, you don't have to go. I said, turn to God. Turn to God. Take a step for God. Listen, I've been preaching for these many years, and I've never told anybody yet to stick their foot out. But that boy said, stick your foot out. And I stuck my left foot out. Brother, I want to tell you, my right was a-falling it. Out of there I came, down that aisle. That aisle seemed like it was a quarter of a mile long. I stood in that altar. They didn't have to get somebody down there to tell me to repeat this. They didn't have to get nobody down there and say, now you do this and do that. Brother, listen, I wasn't interested in nobody else. All I was interested in was my sin-sick soul. I was a praying, oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for this and I'm sorry for that. God, I'm sorry for this. I stayed there and they said about an hour and a half. Now, I'm not telling anybody you ought to stay there no hour and a half, but I'll tell you how long you better stay. You better stay when the work's done, amen. I stayed there for about an hour and a half. And I felt like, listen to this, I felt like Jesus was sitting on a throne right above my head. Felt like he's about 10 to 15 foot right above my head on the throne. And I slowed down, I couldn't even look up. I couldn't have even stayed there confessing sin after sin. And finally I said, here it goes, I'm going to give it a try. Now I had to look up, I slowed down, I couldn't face him. I said, but here it goes. I leaned back on my haunches and I looked up and I said, Lord, if you say me, say me. If you can use me, use me. And about that time, there's a dose of salvation came in from a lamb that's cried and day. I come and I got born again. Amen. Oh, lovely people looks good and you get saved. Bless God, you love your mother-in-law and you get saved. I came out of that old building that night, it seemed like the stars came out on this parade. Seemed like the trees as they're clapping their hands. Something to me like all the cherubims and all that crowd in heaven was a singing hallelujah. Another soul would have to die and go to hell. I got to the house, my mother and my two sisters had gone to the Moose Club to dance. When they came in, they'd had their social drinks and all that. Mama looked at me big-eyed as she got to the door and said, what in the world's wrong? I said, not a thing. It's all right now. Mama said, you're drunk. I said, I have been, but I'm not now. I said, I got saved tonight. My two sisters said, he's drunk. That's that old liquor. He's drunk. And they finally fussed at me, so I went to the back room, got a little three-quarter size bed. I wasn't a big fella then. I got an old bed, but who could go to sleep when you just step from the bottom to the top? Who could go to sleep when God had just put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who could go to sleep when God had just become your Father and Jesus your Savior and the Holy Spirit your Comforter, the New Jerusalem the city and heaven the country, and God had put all over you, no layovers allowed, New Jerusalem bound, our mail special, amen. Yes, God, listen. I got up the next morning. I went in Mother's room. She was laying with her face toward the wall. I laid my hand on her shoulder. She said, what you want, son? I said, Mama, how about pressing my suit for me? I just had one little old blue suit. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. Mother flung over the bed, looked up and said, son, do you mean what you said last night? I said, Mama, I never meant nothing more in my life. I said, I'm saved this morning. God. I took off down to the little old church. Amen, Willie. Bless God, I took off the little old church. No, I wasn't on a little old church. I had 1,600 in Sunday school. Mama said, what church are you going to? I said, that big one down the street is. Never have come see me. I think I'll go see them. I don't. It wouldn't have been so bad if I'd have walked in kind of dressed up, but I walked in with that Bible on the arm. They knew business done picked up somewhere. I had the family Bible, looked as big as a Sears Roebuck catalog. Now, what am I saying? God keeps the best of your life in the Christian experience. So, then in closing tonight.